If you would, turn with me to Romans 7. Romans 7. Romans 7, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Very familiar. Romans 7, verses 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. We have here, and I don't know if this is the right term, I was going to use analogy, but this is not an analogy that Paul was giving us, because it says in verse 1, for I speak to them that know the law. This is actually what the law teaches us. But Paul is using the law to show the relationship of a believer and Christ from this, is where he's going to, where he goes to. And that because Christ did this. He's the one that it was because of what he did. The first sentence is what the law actually tells us, as I just said. The example that follows is a specific situation involving a husband and wife. Some things to notice here. The law, it says, has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. So if the man dies, the law has no more dominion over him. I know I'm just repeating what it says, but I want to point this out. Then it says that a woman is bound to her husband as long as he liveth. If she marries someone else while he's yet alive, she is an adulteress. But if he dies, she is loosed from that law, from that husband. She is not an adulteress if she be married to another if that husband is dead. I've read this and I got to pondering over something here once I got to verse 4. It says if her husband died in verses 2 and 3, then she would be loosed from the law. But then it goes on to say, ye are become dead to the law that you should be married to another.
Amen.
It does not say the husband died or the law died, as I believe the husband represents here. I do believe that the husband is used to show us the relationship of the law to man. As long as he liveth, it says, she is married to him. But if he dies, she is loosed, it says. But it then says that not that the husband has died, but that she has died. The effects are the same. If she dies, she is also loosed from the law. The law demands payment for not obeying the law. We are all adulteresses when it comes to the law of God. This could not have happened on her own or on our own. Dying on our own means we die forever. I listened to a message by Carol Poole called The Shoes Latchet. And that's on sermon audio if y'all want to listen to it. It's a good message, but The Shoes Latchet. And that message got me to thinking about this, and especially as it relates to Ruth and Boaz. So I just want to go through this, showing the relationship Christ has wrought for a believer so that they are now married to him.
Amen.
My title is Dead to the Law, Married to Christ. So now let's turn over to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. That's just after Judges. Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 8 is what I want to read right now. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. We have here a picture of Jesus Christ and the law. That's what I believe this picture is. Christ went to the gate where judgment was to be made. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He came down and performed that transaction that was to purchase his people. Here we see it as Boaz buying back his brother's inheritance, and Naomi and Ruth came along with it. There was, as it says in Ruth chapter 3, a nearer kin. Boaz told Ruth that there was a nearer of kin that had to be dealt with first, before he could redeem her. Boaz had to go where judgment was to be made and deal with this nearer of kin. We see here in Ruth that this nearer of kin could not redeem his brother Elimelech's inheritance, since Ruth was involved. What was the problem? Ruth was the wife of the dead. This nearer of kin could not redeem it because he could not give life to the dead. This certainly agrees with Scripture. Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Yeah. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
Yeah. Exactly.
The law could not and cannot give life to the dead.
Amen.
It would mar his inheritance, as we see here in Ruth. The law is a glorious condemnation of death. The law kills, but it cannot make alive.
Yes.
Not because there is some flaw in the law, but because of the flesh.
Yeah.
The law was never intended to give life to anyone.
Exactly.
God knows what is in the heart of man. He knows no one would ever be able to keep His law. The law was never designed. It was never meant to give life. It was meant to show our deadness and condemnation before God and to shut our mouth so that we would have nothing to say against the judgment against us. We cannot approach God through the law. If we attempt to do that, we will die. Remember Mount Sinai? There will be no life there. You go to that mountain, you're going to die, God says. Now, going back to Ruth, I want to look at this a little closer when it comes to what this other near of kin did. He ended up drawing off his shoe to show and to witness to all who were there that Boaz would be the one that would redeem their brother Elimelech's land along with Naomi and Ruth. I think there is some significance as to how this happened here in Ruth, and the significance is the gospel. So let's go read another passage on this taking off of the shoe. You don't have to turn to it, but if you want to, Deuteronomy 25, I want to read that, and that's the count in the law here of the taking off of the shoe. Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 through 9. Deuteronomy 25:5. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders. His brother's wife go up to the gate of the elders. And say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. Do you see here that it says, if the man will not build up his brother's house, the wife of the brother shall come into the presence of the elders. But in Ruth 4, we read of another going to the gate. Ruth did not go. She could not go. She is a dead one. She has nothing. She is about as poor as a person could be. She could not redeem a thing. She could not approach unto the law because she would be consumed. But there is one who would go in her stead. There is one who went to the gate of judgment in our stead if we are one of his. Just as Boaz went to the gate for Ruth, Christ did for his people. Jesus Christ, as we read from Galatians 4, came down and was made of a woman and made under the law to redeem them that are under the law. The law is still in full force for some.
Yes, sir.
But not everyone knows they are under the law. Not everyone knows they are in bondage to the law.
Right.
They think it's their bed buddy.
Yeah.
They are devoted to it, not realizing what it really demands. Some are right at home with the law, even though that law condemns them to death.
Yes, sir.
They are quite happy and alive with the law. Paul tells us this in Romans 7. Just as all of us are by nature, we were all at one time alive in the law. But God at his appointed time sent his arrow of his law to shoot right at our heart so that we would see his law for what it truly is there for. When he sends that law and we actually see what it says, then sin revives and we die. What happens then when we die? When we're brought together to the realization that we're all dead in Adam. Sorry, I kind of marred that up. But remember, Elimelech is dead, and so we are dead. Adam died, and when he died, we all died. The Scripture testifies to this very thing. Although if we are dead, we cannot see what the Scripture says. Until he comes to us in grace and opens our eyes, we cannot see we are dead. But when he does, then we will know that we are dead before a living God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That one which is a nearer of kin has to be appeased and the matter settled at the gate of judgment. We cannot get around this, but he, Jesus Christ, had to deal with it on his people's behalf. The one that is nearer of kin cannot give us life. Go back to Ruth 3 for a minute, if you're still there. Ruth 3, verses 11 through 13. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. Boaz stood in our place. He was not going to let Ruth go and deal with this, as he knew she could not. Jesus Christ knew we could not deal with our offense against him. So he dealt with it on our behalf.
Yes, sir.
There is another thing about this shoe, though. As we saw before, the wife of the dead brother in Deuteronomy was to go about before the elders and do this thing. But here in Ruth, Boaz goes before the elders. Boaz does all the right things here so that he might have a bride in Ruth. The amazing thing I see here is the man takes off his own shoe and gives it to Boaz.
That's right.
Boaz did the transaction to show and prove that it is he that will redeem the dead to life. Jesus Christ did what was needed. When he came down and made himself of no reputation and was made a curse and sin for us, he went to that tree where God the Father pierced him through. When we read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then he himself announces to us, it is finished.
Amen.
The transaction is done. That great transaction is done. We have a nearer kin who is willing to redeem us from deadness to life. He redeemed us from a nearer kin, that law, which kills us and shuts our mouth. It demands death. Why did this nearer of kin give Boaz his shoe? What can we see from this? And I think this is a picture of what we read in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9, if you want to turn there. 2 Corinthians 3. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our... I'm in the wrong chapter again. Okay, chapter 3. I said chapter 3. Why didn't I go there? I don't know. Chapter 3, verse 5. Sorry. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory.
Amen.
I believe what we see in picture here in Ruth is the law showing that Christ is more glorious than the glorious law of Mount Sinai. Christ exceeds in glory.
Yeah. Yes.
We do not look at the lesser glory, we look to the greater glory.
Amen.
The law removes its own shoe, so to speak. to show us the righteousness of God without the law. So here is what we see from the account in Ruth. Ruth was brought to Boaz, and she clinged to Boaz. Boaz took Ruth's place to go to the gate on her behalf. He was not going to leave it up to Ruth because he loved her, just as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. He said to Ruth in Ruth 3, verses 12 and 13, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and I shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down to the morning." And I like thinking about this next verse that I'm going to read. This is where we see the faithfulness of God. And this is good for mothers to hear this verse too. This is a good mother here that says this. Ruth 3 verse 18. "Then said she," and this is Naomi speaking to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest, until he hath finished the thing this day."
Amen.
Jesus Christ was faithful and is faithful to perform the duties of a near of kin when it comes to his people. He was set like a flint to perform that great transaction, where he would be manifest that he is the righteousness of God without the law. So back to our text. The law, because of what Christ did for his people, has no more dominion over us.
Amen.
Verse 4 of Romans 7. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." What does this mean exactly when it says this? His chosen people died in him because he is their federal head. So when he died, we died.
Yes, sir.
Then it goes on, "that ye should be married to another." We cannot be married to another if we are dead, even to him who is raised from the dead, it says. That we cannot be married to another if we are dead. And then it goes on to say, "even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." We could never go to the gate of judgment because we are dead and we have nothing to redeem with. We are totally poor. We are totally corrupt, and we have no way, no hope of changing that in and of ourselves. We have to have a near of kin, our kinsman redeemer. He had to go up for us so that he could work out our redemption on that tree. He was perfect in all that he did. But then he was made a curse and sin for us. Because of this, he had to die. He was made what I was, so he had to die. In so doing, and him being our head, we died with him. His people being in him, we also died. So then now we are no longer under the dominion of the law. It has no power against us because Christ paid that debt of sin. That debt of sin against his holy law and him. But that is not all. We certainly died with him, but what else happened? It says in verse 4 of Romans 7, "even to him who is raised from the dead." What do we read back in Romans 6 verses 3 and 4? "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We are raised with him unto eternal life. What does it go on to say in Romans 6, verse 11? "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We still have this flesh, but we are told to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. But we are now alive with him, and we are now married to him. I am bound to him as my husband, and I will walk in that newness of life. And not in the oldness of the letter. If I look to go back to the law, I am committing spiritual adultery.
Sure. Yeah.
If you notice that Ruth never went to the gate. She had nothing to give and could not acquire anything. But he was willing. That is Boaz as a picture of Christ. He knew she could not do it. So he went on behalf of Ruth. There was no time where Boaz thought, Ruth, maybe you need to go up to the gate. Because you need to convince this nearer of kin yourself that he might redeem you. Then if he does not, then I'll do it. Absolutely not. He tells Ruth, you stay here and get some rest. I will handle this thing. If you turn back to the law, you are saying that Christ is dead in vain. There was no need for Jesus Christ to die if the law could or can give life. The law does not give life before you are brought to know Jesus Christ, and it does not give you life after you know Christ.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is where we find our life, if we have life. Why do you need the law if you have Jesus Christ? I'm not looking to the law at all, because when I do, all I see is condemnation and death. Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. But if you turn to the law as your life in any way and at any time, then you are saying that Christ is dead in vain. Hear the scripture, Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Jesus Christ is the righteousness, the life, without the law.
Amen.
Romans 3:21-22 we read, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets.
Amen.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Remember, Boaz went up to the gate. He invited the elders to the gate. There were manifold witnesses to Jesus Christ and his glory. They are all witnesses to his glory and give witness to him being the nearer of kin who has redeemed the people for his name. He will raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance because he can and he has.
Amen.
Folks, I'm here to tell you that if you are looking to the law that you might keep it and that it will bring you life before God, then you are under the dominion of that law. If you stay there, you will perish. Because the law cannot give life. Period.
Right, exactly.
But if he was pleased and is pleased that he would take your place at the gate of judgment, then you are no longer required to do obeisance to the law.
That's right.
You are free to serve Jesus Christ, who is our life.
Amen.
And who gave us life from the dead. If you don't know him, all I can tell you to do is to cry out to him. Those who cry out to him will be heard. He is the near of kin. So those who are his are dead to the law and married to Christ. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us to meet here today, dear Lord. Be with those who could not be here, dear Lord. Dear Lord, be with those who are by your power, by your strength, by your grace, or trying to get the gospel out, dear Lord. May it be that you will allow all your people to support the gospel and to get the gospel out, dear Lord, that they may hear of you, because it is you, the only one that can do anything for a lost sinner, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.